Hi, this is Austin Hill.
Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk. Reward. Opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our world. It's the big world of small business. Take down our number and join us. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We're open for business with your questions and comments about, yes, small business ownership. Being an independent worker, finding work even if you can't get a job, quote unquote. We try to see these issues of work and business and labor and making a living and see them through the lenses of scriptural truth and our Christian faith. That's what we do. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. My question for you in this episode of our program, this is going to be very, very interesting, I think, I hope, and I invite your participation here. Whether you're a business owner or not, please weigh in on this. If you owned a business, would you prefer to hire a millennial, somebody of the millennial demographic, the millennial generation, or would you prefer a worker to hire that is older? Let me say it again. If you are a business owner, would you prefer to hire a millennial or somebody older? Tell me what you think of that. I know, just as sure as I say that, people are saying, wait a minute, there's a lot more to this than what you're saying, and you can answer this a bunch of different ways. I know. I pose questions that can be answered in a variety of different ways. It's talk radio, right? Anyway, if you own a business, would you prefer to hire a millennial or somebody older? 877-933-2484. I raise this question here on this program because if you follow any evangelical Christian media at all, publications like, for example, Christianity Today magazine, to a lesser extent, ChristianPost.com, the news publication, Relevant magazine, some of those, they have had quite an interesting conversation. There have been a series of interesting articles in some of those publications about church ministry and how the millennial demographic is very unique and has unique nuanced needs and such, and how does the church, the Christian church, broadly, universally speaking, how does the church reach the millennial generation? As a matter of fact, there are some saying, well, we need more millennial demographic pastors on staff at churches in order to reach the millennial generation. That may or may not be the case, but I'm applying the same question anyway to the realm of business. So tell me what you think about that. It's 877-933-2484. Coming up later this hour on our program, an excerpt of an interview that I was privileged to do with a gentleman who's got a new book out that is just making all kinds of headlines, and it's an amazing new book. It's on the Moody Publishing label. It's called The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Today's Part-Time Economy. The gentleman's name is Robert Dickey, and he has some amazing things to say about baby boomers and their struggle to remain relevant and keep work coming in, keep income coming in, compared to millennials. That's kind of the two spectrums. By the way, I'm from Gen X. I'm right in the middle of the boomers and the millennials, right? And my wife and I are raising a millennial demographic son. But Robert Dickey has some thoughts on helping people find jobs or start a business if they need to. And he raises some very interesting thoughts. I'll let you hear this later in the second half hour. Raises some very interesting ideas about networking And what better place to network to help meet people's needs than in churches? That's kind of how I round out the thought. But Robert Dickey, an excerpt of my discussion about his book, The Leap, coming up later this hour. 877-933-2484 is our number. Let's get to some of the news that we saw break over the course of the last few days. We saw new job creation numbers published for the month of February. Here we are in the month of March, and on the first Friday of every new month, our U.S. federal government publishes data looking back over the previous month, and they crunch the numbers and demonstrate for us how many jobs were created during the month and the relative national average of unemployment across the country. And the job number, the number of jobs, I'm not saying anything about the quality of the job or the essence of the job or what kind of wage the job pays, but the number of jobs created during the month of February, despite very difficult weather conditions, which slows down economic and business activity, obviously. Despite all that, the number was pretty high, some 295,000 jobs created across the country, and the national unemployment rate dipped another tenth of a percentage point. Okay, I'll take it, but I believe you and I need to be people of discernment and look beyond those headlines and ask some deeper questions. By the way, author Robert Dickey is doing that. You'll hear some of that coming up later in the hour. Anyway, this is the voice, the very charming voice, I might add, of Mandy Curry. She's an anchor at CNBC, and I'll interpret her Australian English here in just a moment. But she announced the job creation numbers and had some other details mixed in as well. Mandy Curry from CNBC. Let's listen.
Winter storms and the port slowdown on the West Coast weren't enough to slow down job growth in February. The unemployment rate fell to a 5.5%, a new post-recession low. Wages, however, barely rose at all. That is leading many in the markets to say interest rates are likely to stay low. Well, the strong jobs report helping the dollar jump to fresh 11-year highs versus other currencies, which means cheaper price tags for imported goods and overseas vacations.
Okay, well, that's Mandy Curry. She's an anchor at CNBC. She comes to the United States from Australia, and the accent is very clever. What she's saying there is, despite the storms and lockout of key ports in the United States, we had a labor strike, actually, in California, which was creating a bottleneck, if you will, of imports and exports of essential goods all across the country. And despite the chilling weather that caused a shutdown with businesses and whatnot, job creation numbers, 295,000 jobs created in February. Wow, that's great. But notice what she also said. Essentially, no growth in wages. She also noted that the U.S. dollar remains strong, relatively speaking, as compared to other national currencies. And what does that mean? Well, that means that those of us here in the U.S. who are wealthy enough, rich enough to take a foreign vacation, while our American dollar still buys us a lot of stuff traveling overseas. So it's good for the upper crust, so to speak, but wages are remaining stagnant, and, well, it is what it is. But nonetheless, this job creation number is celebrated. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer here. I'm calling the church to a greater level of discernment. That's really what I'm doing here. We need to begin to understand some basics about economics, and even if economics and understanding the labor markets and such, even if that's not your level of interest or your area of interest, it is mine. I'm passionate about it. But we need pastors and other leaders in churches to help sift through the details of the headlines. Because there is this kind of continual narrative that's perpetuated in the dominant media in our country that says, wow, look at all those 295,000 jobs that have been created. I'm here to tell you that over the last 4 years, about 75% of all jobs created in the country are part-time jobs. And many of them are entry-level jobs, minimum wage jobs. This is not meeting the needs of families and individuals across our country. Frankly, it's not meeting the needs of the church itself with an economic system and economic policies that are creating part-time job after part-time job and not really creating any opportunity for career or advancement, not really creating jobs where you can get in on the ground floor and work your way up. That's one of the reasons. And by the way, I don't think we're going to get out of this slump anytime soon. It's one of the big reasons why I produce this program, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. We need to start thinking like business owners. We need to empower people, whether they're baby boomer retirees or high school students. We need to empower people to start thinking about their God-given talent and potential and better understand how to put those skills, how to put those capacities, that talent, that potential to use to produce something of value for other people, which in turn can produce a wage. In other words, we've got to start thinking like business people, because the businesses themselves are not creating the jobs that meet the needs of individuals and families. I will go so far as to say that it would be cruel if we continue to ignore the details of what's really going on in the labor markets and in the economy and just grab onto the headlines and say, wow, big job creation number last month, that's great, let's go out and celebrate. I'd rather have more jobs than fewer. But notice what that soundbite, in that soundbite from that very happy-sounding anchor, Mandy Curry from CNBC, her comment said absolutely nothing about the wages or the quality of the job, or whether it's part-time or full-time. Here's another thing that never gets reported: the number of jobs that were eliminated in the previous month. We don't hear about that. We need to be people of discernment and get to the real truth of the matter. And the truth is much more a mixed bag than the headlines would lead us to believe. Think about that, and think about my question. If you owned a business, would you like to hire a millennial or somebody older? Our number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll come back and get to calls and talk much more. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Glad you're with us. Our program continues.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Great to have you with us. I am Austin Hill, here every weekend at this same time. You can always find archived audio of our program from our network carrier at myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. The program is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, where we seek to understand business and employment and labor and work and job creation and making a living through the lenses of our Christian faith. I'm here for your questions and comments at 877-933-2484. My question for you in this episode: if you were a business owner, would you prefer to hire a millennial, a younger adult? And depending on what demographer you're reading, the millennial generation is defined differently. But suffice it to say, generally speaking, we're talking about young people age 16 to 18 on the young end, all the way up into their early 30s, 31, 32 or so. That's kind of the demographic that we're talking about here. If you were a business owner, would you prefer to hire a millennial or somebody older? A couple of points on this before I get to your phone calls. The vast majority of hiring, what few jobs we have in the country, new jobs being created and such, and what little hiring that we have going on in the country, most of us agree that there's not enough hiring going on, but most hiring that has transpired over the last 5 years has involved older adults age 40 and older. In many cases, even older than that, 50 and older. Most job openings get filled with workers that are older, not the younger generation. And the millennial generation is really, really struggling. I don't think those of us who are older, I don't think we have adequately and with sufficient seriousness considered the long-term effects that this very sluggish work and labor market condition has had and will have on the millennial generation. Another good reason why I do this program: I care deeply about my son's generation. My wife and I are raising a teenager who's 16, but nonetheless fits into the millennial demographic. But that's just one point to bear in mind as you go to the phones at 877-933-2484. Most of the hiring has involved older people. Secondly, I asked this question almost kind of hesitantly, the millennial or older thing, because I really don't like slicing and dicing up our society and thinking of us in terms of ethnic or demographic categories. I really like to speak more in a unified sort of sense. I'm reminded of the writings of the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Galatians. I think it's in Galatians chapter 3, where he notes that, and this was radical revolutionary thinking about God at the time, but this was the Apostle Paul following the lead of Jesus Christ himself, saying, hey, access to God through Jesus is available to Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. You know, it's available for everybody. A relationship with God through Jesus is available to, as the Apostle Paul would say, the slave or the free person, either one. I mean, the New Testament vision, the call on the life of the Christian, I believe, in the New Testament, is to be very unifying and make God's blessing available to everybody. And we live in a culture, however, here in the United States, that is very torn asunder. We are very much packaged and categorized and boxed in according to our skin color, our ethnicity, our gender, age demographic, and so forth. So I'd like to think that the church, even with these labor concerns and the older folks getting most of the jobs, the younger people being left behind, I believe in the spirit of the Apostle Paul and the spirit of the church at Galatia, I'd like to think that there's something the church can do here in our country and throughout the free world, throughout the entire world, to have a unifying force to speak clearly and honestly and in a helpful sort of fashion on these labor issues. Just wanted to clarify where I was coming from here. I am trying to think biblically about this in a very succinct way. But again, if you had a business, if you owned a business, would you want to hire a millennial or somebody older? It's 877-933-2484. Jennifer is up next in Madison, Wisconsin. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Well, in answer to your question, would I hire an older person or a millennial? I would hire an older person because they've have a sense of history behind them. They've lived it. There's a sense of maturity with them. And they understand kind of how life works. They have a work ethic. Many older people are working because they have to work, or they want the work, or they have a goal. Mm-hmm. As opposed to my experience with millennials is this. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of expense to train them. They have childcare expenses. They're off work a lot for the same things that the younger parents are off for. And if you're building a business, that can get rather expensive. But mostly, millennials like to job hop. And they are looking for the right cultural fit. I can't promise that in my business, that I have the right cultural fit. We have a business, and we aim to give the best benefits that we can afford. Mm-hmm. We provide a healthy working environment. But I can't promise them the feng shui or whatever it is they're looking for.
Feng shui. Oh, my. How did we get? Wow, you're throwing me for a curve here. I could not even begin to define that term. Maybe we should do an entire episode on that subject. But you can't provide the cultural, the nuance, shall we say, that a millennial might want. Is that what you're getting at here?
Yes, they seem to have a sense and bragging rights with their friends too, that I have a great office space, my chair is ergodynamically designed, and we get to have time off for this and after that, and we get to have a great art and colors, and the environment is fabulous. They pay attention to a lot of the exteriors, and that seems to make them happy. Whereas older people are not accustomed to that. They want to know, can they do the work? Can they achieve? Can they make it happen?
Yeah.
And can they get a good buck at the end of the day?
Yeah, interesting. Just curious, do you see this desire for nuance, shall we say, playing out, say, among millennials in your local church? And is there an effort to cater to that with millennial ministry, so to speak? I'm just wondering.
You know, I haven't seen that. I think that the millennials at my church are groomed and taught by older people who have a sense of work ethic, and they're also taught humility. I was reading the stats this morning that humility has gone a steady decline. In 2010, it was at its lowest compared to the early 20th century. So they're taught by people who have a sense of humility, and I would venture to say that the millennials at my church are not taught to pay first attention to their cultural environment.
Fair enough. Jennifer, appreciate the call very much. Feng Shui, didn't know we were going to get into that. That's still a foreign language to me, but I'm sure it fits in somewhere. But her point is well taken. What are your thoughts? If you owned and operated a business, would you prefer to hire somebody from the millennial generation or somebody older? Most business owners, for, as I pointed out earlier, for the last several years, have been going after the older workers and ignoring the younger workers, passing them up. And I think there's missed opportunity there, but there is certainly a very, very serious problem there with the millennial generation as well. Our number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Now we'll take a break here in just a moment, come back and get to more of your calls. Also, still to come, an excerpt of my recent conversation with an expert, a gentleman named Robert Dickey, who's got a fascinating new book, which you can find, by the way, on our program website at austinsbigworld.com. It's called The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Our Part-Time Economy. He is speaking and counseling with people all over the country, working with people in churches. And part of his message, I think, to Christians is to say, church, wake up. We've got a very serious problem here. And we all have to start thinking and acting and behaving more like business people if we're going to continue to provide for ourselves and our families and for the church itself. I will talk with Robert Dickey coming up and get to more of your calls coming up in moments. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More in moments, you're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, where we seek to understand business, work, making a living, and see it through the lenses of our Christian faith. Stand by for more. Back in moments.
We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
I am honored to have you with us. Thank you for listening. I hope you're telling your friends, your family members, even people in your church, perhaps the pastor at your church, about this program. If you don't catch it live real time, you can always find it on our network website at myfaithradio.com. That's the network carrier for this program, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. And also our program website itself, austinsbigworld.com. And I've myself and a team of two other guys. As a matter of fact, it just occurred to me. Here's a little insight. The two other individuals that have built and are now rebuilding for a third time, austinsbigworld.com, they're both, are you ready for this? They're both millennials. How do you like that, right? Here I am, a 50-something guy taking direction from a couple of very talented millennial guys in the state of Arizona. Anyhow, find information on starting a business, help with your resume, any a number of other resources at austinsbigworld.com and the program audio at myfaithradio.com. If you own a business, would you want to hire a millennial, a younger adult, or somebody older? That's my question. It's 877-933-2484. Up next, it's Mark in Boise, Idaho, listening to us on 94.1 FM, KBXL, The Voice. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good stuff, Austin. Appreciate what you're doing. Great topic this afternoon.
Thank you.
Great topic today.
Yes, sir. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm in a account executive position. I work with a variety of different businesses. It's a service-related business, Austin, that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with a variety of different businesses, and I'm 54, so I think I need to lay some groundwork down that I've been doing this in the field that I'm in for 30 years, and what has excited me in the last 10 years is working with millennials.
Cool.
I find the creative energy fascinating. I find the attention span somewhat, I use the word humorous, but I mean in an endearing way. With this group of people, if you're not in touch with them quickly and immediately, you know you're off track if you have any intuition at all. It's an easy group to read. They're very upfront. They're very honest, and I do enjoy working with them.
There is a level of candor. And this hasn't come up on the program yet, but I would, and I haven't articulated that way, but there is a level of honesty and candor that perhaps doesn't exist with your generation or mine. I think you're onto something there.
Well, and I don't know what the product it comes from, but I don't know if it's just a faster pace with this generation. You know, we would sit through, you know, different messages and commercials and things like that when we were young with the messages that we got. And I just wonder if maybe this generation's just moving at a faster pace and they're not afraid to just put it on the line quicker than maybe a couple of other generations that I've worked with. And I think you're onto something there.
And you make a very valid point here. I mean, my goodness, the millennials have grown up with rapid speed, immediacy vis-a-vis technology, things that you and I could not have dreamed of doing at their age. And so fast pace.
Not even with media, but just getting data that they want.
Yeah.
Records to their own data. Just anything. It's just such a faster moving pace that I enjoy working with them. I don't put them in any different category. There's millennials now that, you know, Austin are 8-9 years into their fields and they're very competent to business owners that I've worked with in the last couple of years. So actually I find the level of creativity and the energy of pace to be, I enjoy it.
Very cool. Mark, great to have you with us in Boise, Idaho, in the Mountain West, listening to us on 94.1 FM, KBXL, The Voice. By the way, you know, in as many times as Mark, did you say creativity 2 or 3 times? I mean, he's really emphasizing that. And that, by the way, is one of the attributes of the millennial generation that gets noted over and over again. And I referenced earlier in the hour some of the writings and reporting about the millennial generation in publications like Christianity Today and Relevant Magazine and some other evangelical Christian publications, even in the context of church ministry. People are always saying, hey, the millennials, they are creative. They want to make up their own way to get things done. They want to color outside the lines. Now, conversely, others would say the millennials haven't adequately figured out how to color within the lines, so to speak. That's another side of the coin, but I appreciate Mark's comments. 877-933-2484. Allison is with us on Faith Radio 90.7 FM in St. Paul, Minnesota. Allison, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, thanks so much.
Yes, ma'am. What's going on?
Yeah, I started my photography company at 18 in 1999, and so I started with nothing and did other jobs and whatever, but in the last 8 years, I've trained 4 different people, and 3 of them have been millennials, and my most recent is actually 6 or 7 years older than me. And there's definitely pros and cons to both. The millennials seem to be ready to learn and want to know it all, and then they think they know it all. And I think it's part of being young sometimes is we're real confident.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, then all 3 of them have gone off and started their own businesses, and which is great, but that leaves me without employees. So then now that I have older people, the older people that I've hired or people who are older than me tend to be more receptive to constructive criticism and mm-hmm. still want to be learning things. And so I've experienced, you know, kind of both ends of the spectrum, but the older people tend to stay longer and be more committed. Maybe it's because they're not as confident in just going off and doing it themselves, or maybe it's just dedication. I'm not sure.
The very interesting observations, and you're experiencing this firsthand as a business owner yourself, and you've got quite a perspective on this. When you say older workers, Allison, give us an age range, if you would.
Well, just older than me. I'm 34, so, you know, 40, around there. And actually, a few of my friends who own businesses have hired people in their late 40s that love to do photography, but don't want to have to start up a brand new business, so they stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking to start something and have it be forever, but they're looking to do something they love and keep learning. So, you know, the millennials that I've had have been more technology savvy, and it, you know, kind of goes quicker with them. But my people who are older than me that I've hired will take criticism better, and it seems to grow differently from it.
Just curious, how would you suggest, if you have any suggestions, how would you recommend that we could better prepare younger workers, millennials, and even millennials younger than you, how best or how better can we prepare young adults in the context of our churches to get them schooled up and prepared to go out into the marketplace and apply themselves more effectively, retain the creativity and keep that momentum going, but also know how to, you know, follow Allison's directions or somebody else's directions? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard because you want confident people, but you also want them to take the criticism and do something with it, I think. I love, like, the last day Mark was saying that they are honest, and it seems sometimes more honest and open and blunt maybe than older people, especially in Minnesota and our Midwest, because mm-hmm. we tend not to be very emotional and not to accept criticism. So maybe millennials realizing that even if they learn things, they don't know everything, and so trying to be lifelong learners, you know, and realizing they do have stuff that they can add, but also that they're going to constantly be learning something new, and you kind of never get to where you've arrived, you know?
Yeah.
If you think you're there, then you're really not.
Have you arrived, or are you a lifelong learner at age 34 owning your own business in St. Paul, Minnesota?
I am constantly learning new things. I feel like I have more to learn than I had when I was 18. Technology is constantly changing.
Yeah, I'm sure even with photography, you've probably seen enormous technological shifts and upgrades just over the course of your professional life since you launched your business in 1999.
Yeah. Well, I went from film photography to digital right in the middle of my career as a photographer.
So. Interesting. Allison, listen, thank you very much for your call. Great to have you listening on Faith Radio 90.7 FM in St. Paul, Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, and appreciate your thoughts on that very much. That's some very good constructive criticism, if you want to call it that. And listen, for those of us, I'm on the front end of the Generation X, the very first year, and so I'm one of the 50-somethings looking back at the millennial generation behind us, if you're in my category. And let's just be honest, if you're, 45 and older, our parents looked at our generation, Boomer, X, or whatever, and said, oh, my goodness, how are these kids ever going to figure this out? What's the matter with you kids? When we were young, we had to do this. You know, I mean, we heard that, right? And I most certainly heard it from my grandparents as well. My parents were World War II era, Depression era Americans. And grandparents were raising children during World War II, and even saw some of World War I. And there was a frugality, but also a work ethic present in those generations that hasn't needed to be there so much with boomers and Xers and now with the millennials. But everything changes, and the demands placed on the millennial generation are enormous. And at the very least, I want to say this very passionately, and if you're a pastor of a church, please take this seriously and get help if you need it. I'm available to help. Find me at austinsbigworld.com. Email me, call me. I can assist with that. I know others who can assist with this, but if you are a leader in the church, this has to be an issue that we take seriously, that we begin addressing in a thoughtful way in the context of churches with the millennials. We have not seen yet, I don't believe, the worst of the social repercussions, the fallout in families, the fallout in the church itself, because the real, serious, deep-seated needs and interests of the millennial generation have gone unrecognized. We've got to stop being led by very misleading and in some cases very false news headlines that say, hooray, look at all the jobs created last month, happy days are here again. It's not working. What we're doing is not working. Now, when we come back, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to let you hear part of a conversation I had recently with a very insightful guy. He's written a book that is absolutely captivating. I recommend it. As an author myself, it's pretty rare when I run around telling my friends and texting my friends and emailing and tweeting and Facebooking and posting on my website saying, you got to get this guy's book. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to get this guy's book. His name is Robert Dickey. His new book is called The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Our Part-Time Economy. I'll let you hear some of my conversation with him when we return. More of your calls on the way as well. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Back in moments.
Small business drives our economy, and that's why we're talking about it. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. You want to talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Oh, yes, we are. And glad you're with us. I'm here every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to. And you can always find the program audio at myfaithradio.com. Info about the program itself and ideas on work and job creation and starting a business at myfaithradio.com. By the way, just real quick, in light of some of the headlines about job creation being so great, so all these new jobs created during the month of February, the majority of them were part-time. A majority of them were minimum wage jobs. That's not something that gets reported in the news headlines. Here's another reality. Here on this very weekend, where the civil rights struggle in Selma, Alabama is acknowledged. The unemployment rate of African Americans in our country is about double the national average. It's 10.4%. Unemployment among African American young men, nearly 30%. That's staggering. That's staggering. How long can we go on ignoring that? Almost 93 million Americans completely out of the workforce, not even working anymore. About a third of the population no longer working. A record 56 million American women out of the workforce, just checked out, not even trying to work. I mean, this mindset, this narrative that's being bantered around in the dominant media, the job creation is roaring back. Folks, as Christians, that what I'm saying here is not political. As Christians, we need to be thoughtful and to be discerning and to see past the headlines and get to the real truth of the matter. Now, on the issue of boomers and millennials and the Gen Xers caught up in between, I have this very intriguing conversation with this gentleman, Robert Dickey, author of the book The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Your Part-Time Economy. You can hear the whole conversation and get info on him and his book at austinsbigworld.com. Just a little part of the conversation. I started by asking Robert Dickey in this segment, how are the boomers adapting to all the changes in the economy and finding their way in this economy where very few jobs are being created and we have to think like business owners? Here's how Robert Dickey began answering that question.
Sadly, probably the segment of the population that I've had the largest struggle with when in terms of counseling have been with the baby boomer population. It's just been heartbreaking. Because when I counsel a young millennial, they have a lifetime to make the proper plans. And some of the baby boomers that I've been counseling within the last couple of years, it's been heartbreaking to see how they have been displaced. They've lost work. Now, I'm not talking all of them, but I'm talking about the few that I've counseled.
Sure.
And the problem that I see is that a lot of them, they lose their job. They've been with the company for 15 or 20 years. They can't retire. They need to work another 10, 15 years, but they can't get reintegrated into the workforce. And they've been out of work for sometimes a year or 2 years. They're getting discouraged. And one of the things that I've found is that they are trying to do what made them successful 20 years ago. And the rules have completely changed. So first and foremost, what I would recommend for the boomer population is that a lot of times we've got to reinvent ourselves. It might require us to go back to school or gain other certifications or education to add on to our resume so that we are marketable in this new economy.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the interview process and getting hired today does not start with your resume and your interview. It actually starts on LinkedIn. If you're not on LinkedIn, you don't exist. That is a quote from multiple CEOs in the placement service industry. So it's amazing how many baby boomers out there think of LinkedIn as just some type of social media thing.
Right.
They don't realize how powerful it is in today's economy to get found, and that most recruiting firms start their job placement searches on LinkedIn first and then move from there. So social media and technology is playing a huge role in this new hiring and job search environment. So I talk a little bit about that in the book, how to leverage social media to its fullest effect. And then finally, you have to become a master networker in this new economy. You've got to get past the gatekeepers. 75% of the jobs that are available right now are not being publicly advertised. They are found via word of mouth and through your connections. And so if you want to get access to those 75% of the jobs in the economy that are open, you've got to network. So those are just a few examples of things that I cover in the book and teach on how to do that.
Robert, final thoughts for the maybe the boomer or maybe a Gen Xer who is raising kids in this economy with all these tectonic shifts going on beneath our feet. You mentioned earlier that the millennial generation, they are more adept at changing and adapting to change, and they've got a lifetime ahead of them. But some of them need some help. What are your final thoughts to the parents and grandparents of this current era as far as imparting some wisdom to the future generation?
Well, my advice would be for the parents and grandparents giving advice for the millennials. In the past, people could go into college. They could, you know, spend a year or two trying to find themselves and self-discovery and sometimes get a degree that was really, in many respects, almost worthless, and then still get into the economy and get full-time work. That's a luxury of the past. People who are going to go and spend the thousands of dollars to get a college education need to enter college with a plan. I highly recommend people taking a career direct assessment to truly understand how they've been wired and gifted. It allows them to get into college, hopefully graduate within 4 years. I mean, if you can take, you know, nowadays, most students are graduating in 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider that college costs are going up to $30,000, $45,000 a year, if you can shave 1 year off, you're saving yourself a lot of money.
Sure.
So trying to get your degree as quickly as possible is extremely important. And the other thing I would mention, I have a free ebook on my website. It talks about the new MOOC revolution, and you can get an enormous amount of certifications and free education online, and I highly recommend people check that out. It's a great resource out there, especially for boomers.
That's Robert Dickey, author of the book, The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Today's Part-Time Economy, an excerpt of my conversation with him. And you can hear the full audio at austinsbigworld.com. This is a very insightful man with a fascinating career himself, actually. Retired from the United States Air Force, has owned and operated large and small companies, worked in the nonprofit sector of the economy, and now is helping others find their way through it all. And by the way, speaking of assessments, you know, skill assessments and such, we've got some links to a variety of different tools and resources available online at our program website, austinsbigworld.com. We also have what we call the Business Owner's Readiness Quiz. Before you dive in and invest a lot of money, spend a lot of time and energy trying to create your own company, so to speak, take the Business Owner's Readiness Quiz. See how ready you are for some of the frailties and challenges. And if maybe starting off working more on a freelance basis, working on a per-project basis, being a freelancer, maybe that's a better place to start. We've got tips on freelancing as well at austinsbigworld.com. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, a production of Hill Communications, LLC, all rights reserved, thanks to the team that makes it happen. Dick Whitworth, Neil Stavem. Thanks to Aaron McIntyre on the other side of the glass booth. We'll see you next weekend. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. For more information about this, you can visit the Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business program page on myfaithradio.com.